NPR.
Hey everyone, Stacey and Cardiff here. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. Today on the show, we are answering three questions from our listeners.
Yes, we have been receiving a lot of questions from you guys about the way the coronavirus pandemic is affecting the economy. A lot of really great questions. And so we picked three of them to answer for today's show. And the first one comes from our listener, Matt.
Hello, Indicator. This is Matt from Arlington. My family is lucky enough that we don't need the money from the economic stimulus that Congress is passing. So I'm wondering, what's the best way for us to use that money to stimulate our local economy and support our local businesses?
We got a lot of questions like this from people just wanting to help in some way. And of course, part of what Matt is talking about is this government payout that we are set to receive. So the government is sending out $1,200 to every adult who makes up to $75,000 a year, and then smaller checks to adults who make up to $99,000 a year. So some people who are receiving these checks are asking, like, what is the best way for me to spend that money to help the local economy if I myself don't need it right now to stay afloat?
Yeah, and there is no perfect answer here. A lot of local businesses simply cannot sell their products in this environment, which means they also can't pay their bills. What they need, quite simply, is money to replace their lost income. And one way to give them that money is by just, well, giving them that money.
GoFundMe has set up a page for small businesses where you can search by zip code for the small business in your area, and then you can donate through the site. This will be especially helpful to businesses like barbershops and salons and gyms, which don't really have any other way of offering their services at this time. We will post a link to that GoFundMe page at npr.org/money.
Yeah, and other businesses have started offering other ways to sell their stuff, even though they cannot allow people inside anymore. For example, if you're comfortable with it, you can buy takeout from restaurants, and you can get curbside pickup of books from some bookshops. Just make sure you do it all safely, following all the social distancing guidelines. But yeah, all of those ways to get money to businesses helps.
And finally, our wonderful colleagues at Planet Money also offered up one clever idea, which is to buy gift cards for the businesses that are shut down. The businesses will get the money to help them survive right now, and then later on, you can use that gift card to get something once the crisis is over. It's a win-win.
And our next question is from listener Melissa. Melissa emailed us that she has got some lingering and very annoying credit card debt from before she got her current job as a microbiologist. Here's her question.
Hey there, Indicator team. This is Melissa from Montana. I was listening to the information about the Fed reducing interest rates so that businesses could take out low-interest loans. Is that something an individual can access? I'm lucky enough to still be working, and I was wondering if there was a way for me to game the system a little bit and refinance some of my debt. Thanks.
So this is a great question.
I know, it's such an Indicator question. It's so smart.
Yeah. The Federal Reserve, the Fed, recently took steps to boost the economy by lowering interest rates in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Melissa is asking, are those low rates just for businesses and banks, or do individual people have access to them also?
Specifically, what Melissa wants to know is whether she should get a personal loan, maybe from her bank, with, you know, very low interest rates, and then use that loan to pay off her credit cards.
But one of our mottos here on The Indicator is never take personal finance advice from podcasters. Unless that podcaster also happens to be Jill Schlesinger. She's a frequent guest on our show, and she's CBS News business analyst and host of the podcast Jill on Money.
Hey, Melissa, thanks so much for writing. You're absolutely right. The Federal Reserve, which controls short-term interest rates, has acted pretty boldly, and now those rates are at 0%. What you're also finding, unfortunately, is that the big credit card companies rarely go down to those low levels, ever. So now is a great time for you to consider swapping out that higher interest credit card debt with a cheaper form of debt. I found some really good opportunities simply by going online and searching for best personal loans. There you're going to find that even though you're still building your credit up, you have opportunities. I saw some great rates around 7%, maybe 10%, which I'm sure is cheaper than what you have right now. So it depends on a lot of different factors you're going to have to apply, but this is a terrific idea to certainly get a would jump on paying down that sucker as quickly as possible.
And all we would add, Melissa, is to please make sure that you read all the fine print on any personal loan. Make sure it's from a reputable lender. Okay, one more listener question, plus a bonus listener moment right after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Chobani Oat, made to taste just like milk. It's creamy, frothy, and great with coffee and cookies. But without the dairy, because it's not milk, it's almost milk. New Chobani Oat. Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Okay, so our last listener question comes from Raghav, and its underlying theme is Cardiff's favorite indicator right yet again?
Yes.
Hi, Indicator. Even though the inverted yield curve could not have predicted the coronavirus and its subsequent economic drop, do we still attribute some of this quote-unquote prediction to the inverted yield curve? Would this also count towards the historic trend? Thank you.
Okay, super quick explainer for new listeners. An inverted yield curve is when the interest rates paid by long-term treasury bonds are lower than the interest rates paid by short-term treasuries.
And Cardiff is obsessed with this.
Yes, that's true. So if a treasury bond that expires in 10 years has a lower interest rate than a treasury that expires in 3 months, the yield curve is inverted.
And there is a reason that Cardiff is obsessed with the yield curve. And that is partially because for the last 6 decades, every single time the yield curve has inverted for at least 3 straight months, a recession has followed within a year or two. Last year, the yield curve inverted during the first half of the year, and right now, we are almost certainly in a recession. But the cause of the recession is this global pandemic instead of a normal downturn in the economy. So what Raghav is asking is whether we can really give credit to the yield curve for having predicted this recession, since what caused it was kind of an anomaly.
That's right. And honestly, the answer is no. All the yield curve basically does is something quite simple. It just reflects what all the people throughout the world who invest in treasuries think will happen to the economy. It does not predict pandemics or any of these other massive unexpected anomalies any more than those investors can predict pandemics.
So we cannot say that the yield curve's streak of predicting recessions is over, because we don't know what would have happened if there had not been a pandemic. But it is also hard to count its prediction last year towards that streak. So I don't know, Cardiff, maybe we just don't count this one? This is just a...
Yeah, I think we just throw it out.
Okay.
And finally, as a bonus, we also have not a question, really, just a listener moment.
A moment.
My name is TJ Bashirs, and I'm an emergency room tech in Hawaii. The other night, I heard two coworkers talking about Keynesian economics and quantitative easing. I like to think that the indicator would find great joy in knowing this. Also, it's kind of crazy that those are terms that can just be thrown around now.
I love this. So,
yeah.
I love that people in an emergency room are talking about Keynesian economics. And it makes a lot of sense because, okay, so Keynesian economics basically says that in a recession, when people and businesses are afraid to spend money, when things start kind of seizing up the way they are now, the government should spend money to jumpstart the economy, kind of step in and keep the joints moving. And quantitative easing is the Federal Reserve's program to buy lots of different kinds of bonds to make sure that credit is flowing through the economy. And these are like, this is a very sophisticated idea. This is one of the main kind of tenets of economics.
Yeah, and I think the fact that these ideas are being thrown around like this just kind of shows that sometimes, like, public health and economics cannot be separated. And this is one of those times, which is why I think TJ's colleagues in the emergency room are discussing Keynesian economics, and also why so many economists are trying to better understand the nature of contagion and epidemics.
Yeah, but more than that, TJ's audiogram just gives us at the Indicator a chance to say thank you to TJ and to all the people, our heroes working in ERs and hospitals and intensive care units and ambulances, all at great personal risk to help fight this virus. We so appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks to everyone for writing in. If you have more questions, you can reach us at indicator@npr.org.
If you're looking for more news about coronavirus, NPR has a new daily podcast for just that. It's called Coronavirus Daily, with new episodes every weekday in the late afternoon.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Camille Peterson. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. Our fact checker is Brittany Cronin. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.